Hey, welcome to the show, Self Cell Care. We are so excited to have you here today. And today I have a very good friend of mine who I've known for several years. His name is Dr. Scott Donkin. And today we're going to discuss your success is inside out. And so what does that really mean? Well, what we're going to talk about is how an individual's path to true health and wellness occurs largely from the inside out. The individual must learn and decide what their definition of health and wellness is and decide what their own goals are, right? And the individual must seek out health providers and decide which ones to include in their own health team. Sounds like my story. And there's several ways to leverage yourself and to help you realize your goals. So that's what we're talking about today. And I have the esteemed Dr. Scott Donkin, who's a doctor of chiropractic, and he is an internationally published author, chiropractor, lecturer, and consultant who has been in private practice in Lincoln, Nebraska. He is considered an expert on the use of the physical environment to promote balance, physical performance, safety, and longevity. He owns and operates a successful office called Donkin Chiropractic and Progressive Rehab Clinic. He is the author of Sitting on the Job, the co-author of Peak Performance, Body and Mind, How to Make Your Body Last a Lifetime. And he... That's got to be a flipping amazing book. And he's also the producer of a number of multimedia programs on health and wellness. He regularly consults with government agencies on safety practices, with companies on ergonomic and health issues for employees, and with manufacturers of office products like furniture, bedding, pillows, and airline seats. So without further ado, let me bring on my friend, Dr. Scott Donkin. Hey.
Hey, Jody. Thank you very much for having me on your program. I've been looking forward to this, and it's just a thrill for me to be able to share with you in a very candid and open way some insights I've gained over the years, and hopefully they'll be able to help other people that listen and watch and follow you.
Yeah. So, yeah, and you'll be able to, of course, share this with all of your followers as well. We'll make sure you... get the clips because you can, your followers and my followers will be able to view this show everywhere you get your podcast.
Great.
Yeah. Name one. It's there.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Well, good. So,
we're talking about self-actualization and, understanding the self and understanding our own body and understanding what all this means to us. What brought you here?
Well, I first of all was how I became a chiropractor is I was an athlete in high school, and I was lucky enough to be able to wrestle on the wrestling team in college. I hurt my back badly.
Oh.
And, the team doctor told me that I was going to have to alter my life. I'd be crippled and I'd need some surgeries. And this was when I was 18 years. This was 51 years ago. All right. And so it painted a really troubling picture for an 18-year-old athlete. I was in healthcare at the time as pursuing a major in that. And a chiropractor gave a talk in one of my classes, and what he said resonated and clicked with me. So that's how I found out that I got help. I didn't need surgeries or some of the other things that were recommended to me. And to this day, I've never had invasive means of treating my back. I have a very active life, a very robust, physically demanding and mentally demanding practice, that which I love. And I'm able to live what I tell and talk to other people about. So out of adversity,
it's funny, most people who have not seen a chiropractor or who are not comfortable or not in a friendship with a chiropractor may not know that chiropractors can have shoulder and back problems, can't they?
Oh, absolutely. We're in a very, very physically demanding environment, and there's going to be a lot of pressure involved as well, which are two elements for injuries and strain and things that recur. So I learned early on that early on in my life, in my practice, I thought that life was a bell curve. You know, you were born, and then your 30s and 40s, you peaked, and then your 50s and 60s, you declined until you passed away. You know, that was my model when I was a new practitioner. But I quickly found out that the people that I cared for, my patients, didn't follow that model. Mm-hmm. There were people in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s that lived robust, vibrant lives and did what they wanted to do. And so that shattered that formula. All right.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, I was, and my patients to this day are still among my best teachers, biggest teachers. And so I had to adapt my thinking to match what I saw in the world. And I found out that you can live a fully robust life. There are certain key rules you need to follow. I mean, I didn't make the rules, but I know a lot of them. And I know that if I follow them, I can practice what I preach. And I can live the life that I want the people that I care for to live as well, which is living according to what they want to do and how they want to live with an outcome that they decide. And so that was the inspiration for our talk together, how to leverage self in order to get what it is that you truly want for your own life and for how you want to be with others.
Yeah. How do you leverage self? What does that really look like?
Well, initially, it looks like that it's self-serving. Okay. But I learned early on that paying attention to self and figuring out what it is that you want is inner directed. It's an inside out, which is where what we're taught as chiropractors, how healing occurs. Healing occurs from the inside out, above, down.
Above, down, inside, and out. ADIO.
And so in order to follow that model inside out, that we have to understand that we have things happen to us. It's how we interpret them and respond to them that determines what the outcome is. And that's a simple formula. E, which is event, R equals O, ER equals O. Event times your response equals the outcome, which a lot of times the person doesn't have control over the event. An automobile accident or a slip or fall or ingestion to this point of toxic materials, the environment. So a lot of us don't have control over a lot of things, but we do have complete control over our response to it. And I found over time and in my 42 years of practice in Lincoln that people's response to their events that have happened to them, their opportunities for learning and growing, their response has a lot to do with their outcome. And that it is that we have control over. So we have to leverage what our responses are, what our internal responses are in order to get the outward goal of what our what we actually want in life. I found out that
that's so brilliant. May I add to that?
Sure, absolutely. Please do.
Okay. So 10 years ago, I would have agreed with the whole statement. I would say agree with most of your statement, especially the response and the goal. Being that I studied the subconscious mind, I'm actually going to assert that we can control the events that come into our life.
Okay.
And I'm going to assert that for experiences and lessons, we actually manifest it and bring it into our own field. Like
that,
I did.
There's a lot of that resonates with me. However, that might be a subject for a larger conversation as well.
Completely. Right. Completely. Uh-huh. But I would just say that my mind set shifted when I realized that our subconscious mind runs 95% of the show. And so since it runs most of the show, if we've been handed down a belief system or we had an experience early on in life or in a past life, we bring it forward to bring closure to it and release it such that we bring that event so we can also modify our responses and rise up and have the goal.
I agree. Well, here it's entirely consistent with our conversation because that is still my subconscious, which is self. Okay, so self manifesting inside out is still, I think, consistent with what we both experience in life.
Absolutely. And so there's also, if we're not, I'm not saying that I'm not saying that even though our subconscious mind most of the time is running the show, that's necessarily a bad thing. It can be. But what I'll say is that when our subconscious is running the show, especially as a kid, young adult, and we're not being completely conscious of everything, and the subconscious mind has to run your heart, it has to run your nervous system, it has to run all, you know, your digestive system,
your right immune response.
Exactly. So, but what I'll say is some of our choices could be different, and let the subconscious run the things it has to run and let us run the rest, right? So that's, so it's interesting. I never thought, because we usually, you and I are spot on, like with everything. I'm like, well, oops.
Well, the interplay between conscious and subconscious is a fascinating subject. And I've have some views on that, but.
Go ahead.
No, we have to come up with our own inspiration and reasons for doing things in order for us to have the internal wherewithal to do what it takes to reach our goals. We have to, maybe in digging deep, sometimes you can brush along the subconscious machinery, if you will, the way that it works. And so if you look at inspirational documentaries or movies, you know, they reach deep and find out what they're more about. And I think that there's times of those types of adversity that can help with the interplay between conscious and subconscious.
Totally agree. So let's go back to the response side. How do you want to direct people to help themselves consciously choose a different response to, you know, to an event that they didn't expect, right?
Well, that takes some inner reflection and some self-talk. You know, if you have a response to a certain circumstance, like an automobile accident where you were injured and you were in an automobile accident like 10 years ago and you had a really, really rough recovery, to transpose that, oh, this is going to be really bad too, may not necessarily be the case. Okay. So if you're already projecting your outcome based upon some information that may not be accurate, then you can realize, you know, first of all, what it is that you're thinking about, and then determine if you want to do that have that same outcome or not. And then if you learn from whatever incident you had 10 years ago that some things that you didn't want to repeat, then you look for other ways in order to deal with what it is that that you have currently on your plate to deal with.
So you're actually telling our audience, which I love, that they can choose their own outcome. Their mind is running the show, right? They can actively choose their outcome, right?
Yes, I have done that myself. Mm-hmm. I have seen other patients do that. So you can.
I agree.
In my opinion.
My opinion too. Mm-hmm. And I have done it, right? So I had last year around this time 4 brain tumors and failing heart or failing kidneys, clogged spleen, a failing liver, and the doctor didn't think I was going to make it. And I surprised him 12 days later. Same with I had a broken wrist in 4 places, no surgery, no cast, no drugs. and I surprised that doctor too. So are you saying that the brain is just so much more powerful than what we give it credit for?
Oh, absolutely. It already automatically, brain, subconscious, they're a little bit different, but we probably don't have time to go into it right now. Totally. They do control so many functions so that we can use our conscious mind to operate what it is that we need to at the time. All right. So, for example, I know your response to some things that happened to you recently, is predictable in my mind because I know you and I know the type of thinker that you are. I have a personal experience with that as well. So I do walk the talk. You know, a few years ago, I had an old football knee injury, high school football knee injury that I had to have drained regularly because it would expand and look like a water balloon. And so I would just have it aspirated and I would go on. The knee itself was good, but it just got large. One time, a couple of years ago, it got infected, and then my knee went septic.
Oh!
And so I ended up in the hospital with hospital IVs. I had 3 surgeries on the knee. They had to remove the bursa, which was the one that thing that kept inflating with fluid. So earlier on, the surgeon said, you know, if you don't want to keep going through this, you could have your bursa removed, but you would have to take 3 months off of practice. And I went, well, I'm not going to that. So right. I just went on it. So what happened was in the surgeries, they removed the bursa. And it's like, okay, so now you should take, you know, these 3 months off and then you can rehab yourself back into practice. So it's a half a year. And I'm going, well, that isn't an option to me. So I'm going, if that's not an option to me, then that compels me to think, what are my other options? All right. What it is that am I going to go for? Even though I was told this. So that was what was this card that was dealt me. So I said, hold on. So
you were told to do, let's say, X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
Which I consider to be an imprint, right? And someone giving you a thought form and inserting their opinion and memory and whatever.
Right.
Which for the average person, they would just follow that and go. But you chose differently.
Right. Now, right? Let me qualify this. The surgeon that was telling me this was well-intentioned, according to him.
Of course he is, yeah.
He was speaking genuinely upon what his training and experience was, okay? But I'm going, well, I might not be your typical person, all right, that you're talking to. So I thought these other options. And so the option I decided upon is, I said, I'm going to ask him how was it under, even though you don't think it's likely, how is it that I can continue practice? And he said, well, you could wear a wound vac on your back, because I had to have that for 4 months. You could wear a wound vac. It's like a bowling ball bag where you hook up the tube of suction to the wound because it was septic in order to keep it clean. Okay.
Got it.
They're portable wound vacuums. And so I could wear, it was like a bowling ball.
Okay.
Know. I wear on the back inside a backpack. And then he said, well, you can wear a leg immobilizer because you can't bend the knee. I said, okay, now I know.
So what so I did, back, or what was the second one?
A leg immobilizer, which is a big, long splint over the entire leg where you wouldn't bend your knee.
Okay.
Okay. So go I ahead. Said, okay, I can play that game. So what I did was I got the leg immobilizer and I got the wound back and I went to work. And I figured out what it was, how I needed to move my body in order to do things I wanted to do. It was tremendously thought-provoking, physically demanding, challenging, absolutely. But I only missed 2 weeks of work max. And I was able to work through that and get total healing with my knee. No sign of that anymore other than this big scar. And I didn't go through 3 months of missing work and rehabbing my body back to its physical state. I was able to work through that entire process. So,
did you use any nutrition or
essential oils? Absolutely, I did. Absolutely, nutrition and essential oils and homeopathy. And I got my adjustments, you know. And I did that physical exercise. I hydrated, did stress management, rested. So I was. All of the things that I say other people are important to do, I had to do. But I knew what to do with them, and I decided that's the path I wanted. So myself made these decisions, decided to go down this path. And were there obstacles in the way? Absolutely. You should see the size range of some of the people I adjust. You know, so I had to do some figuring. But what it did was I also refined my understanding of biomechanics to a point I could help other people more specifically with special conditions that they have. So I feel like I'm better off for it and to be able to help others. And I didn't go through the downtime, which would have had its own problems mentally and physically, you know.
So let's look at languaging for a moment. Other people might say, look what happened to me. But what I hear you say is this is what happened for me. Like, here's the blessing. It was wrapped. You know, here's this accident or concern. It's wrapped in strange wrapping paper. But look what it did for me. Here was my growth wrapped in strange wrapping paper.
Right. Now, was there tough times in that thought process? Absolutely. Did I go down some rabbit holes? Absolutely. But I never lost sight of what I wanted to accomplish. So I gave myself a little space and little space, we'll call it. And then I got back to, you know, what I wanted to do. So
have you experienced, and I the answer for me is yes. I'll give my answer yes right away. Have you experienced that there are people who, I don't know how to explain this. So they don't understand that it's these lessons that happen for us, not to us, that while they are tough, you have anger, you have sadness, you have grief, you have to process the forgiveness for each one of these events. But they think that life is just supposed to be easy and you don't have to do this work to grow. What do you say to that?
Well, I draw upon the experiences I see with others. I have a gentleman that was a very successful businessman. He was jogging along the side of the road. He was hit by a car. He was brain damaged. He had some awful, awful injuries. And he was able to pull through it as a patient of mine and still get back ultimately to his life. And he says, you know, sometimes life sucks. You know, sometimes life isn't fair. It's good, but sometimes it isn't fair.
So, or is it fair? Is it what you agreed to before you came down here as a method to learn a lesson? Like, you know, so, you know, I was over-medicated for 2 decades, right? Misdiagnosed. I could say it wasn't fair, or I can reframe it and say, thank you. Because I know very well what to do, what not to do, and I help others make informed choices about what they're doing. So
you chose how to look at that, didn't you? So right. You chose how to, out of all the possible options, well, some people I think don't understand that there's options to how you think about something. And so just that alone can widen the field of what are my options. And it's not just, what do I think my options are? You know, what are the possible options? You know, I saw this interaction I had with the surgeon. I saw that if I would have taken that, I would have a different life right now. You know, so I made myself look at, you know, what is the range of possible options? And I was lucky enough, being a chiropractor, I know, you know, alternatives and other possibilities and things like that. Sometimes people don't have the benefit of that. And so they have to do some searching on their own, maybe find some people that have been in a similar circumstance that have pulled through, that have gone through. There's people that have severe scoliosis that I treat, okay? And so a couple of them in the beginning, it's like, woe is me, I have this, now I'm doomed. But there's a lady out here, I can't remember her name, I'll share it with you later. She has a severe scoliosis, and she has a website that talks about all of the possibilities of people with scoliosis that can do to enjoy life and be physical and happy in life, not just be crippled. and therefore she's not. All right.
Well, I mean, people basically said that I was going to take that medication for having a disease that I really didn't have, right? They said I had bipolar disorder and schizo too. And, well, you're going to be on these drugs for the rest of your life. And so I agreed. I'm like, okay, because I don't want to be a harm to others. That's what they told me. You'll be a harm to others. And, but as I became older and wiser, and keep in mind, my brother was a chiropractor, right? Now, the irony was, is that he got a brain tumor within weeks of me having that misdiagnosis. So he wasn't able to help me and I wasn't able to help him. And so we had to find this path, right? And so the truth is, and I think this is what I want people to know, Dr. Scott's way of doing this may not be right for you.
Right, right.
My way may not be right for you. Mm-hmm. God may have a plan for you that you know nothing about. Mm-hmm. And there may be something else he's got that's really cool that we're not even aware of yet today.
Right.
The point is, God always shows you. So I have two clients right now with prostate cancer, right? And when you look at this book, let me get it out. It's one of my new favorite books, Metaphysical Anatomy. Do you know this book yet?
No, I haven't seen that one.
The Body is Talking, Are You Listening? Metaphysical Anatomy by Yvette Rose, volume one, and it's not a short book. Right? So, I mean, it talks about the emotional connection to whatever disease that you have. And so, and then I would add to that, there are many, many ways to heal. Mm-hmm. You can do it just completely divine intervention if you want to. Mm-hmm. You can see a chiropractor, an acupuncturist. You can blend that with nutrition, oils, PEMF, sound frequency, which you and I both love. Mm-hmm. There are so many ways, and there are ways that are being invented as we speak. Mm-hmm. That we don't know about.
Right. This reminds me of a book that I referenced in Sitting on the Job. My first book that I wrote was written in the 80s, yeah. And it was called Anatomy of an Illness. It was written by Norman Cousins.
Okay.
Who was a journalist, and he had a chronic condition. And according to Norman Cousins, he healed or bettered himself dramatically with laughter. So he with laughter. So
yeah, that's huge.
Anatomy of an Illness. So he would look at all the movies that brought him laughter. And there was a change. Now, physiologically, there's a lot of physiologic change that occurs with laughter, especially if you do laughter on a repeated basis, that has a positive health effect. All right. So it makes sense to me that what he said, and according to his own account, this is what helped him the most, that the laughter was what made a huge difference in his chronic condition.
So The Anatomy of an Illness by Norman Cousins. And
I referred to it in the 1980s. So it's from a while ago.
Yeah. And it's on Audible. I'll probably have to listen to that one.
Yeah.
Although we just bought six books. So my husband and I read so many books. It's not, or listen, we do both.
Yeah. Your quest for learning is very important for your continued improvement and well-being to the level that you want to get to, you know?
Yeah. And I would encourage people to really, I think what, you know, we think about this show, it's about exploring outside your current reality.
Yeah.
What you see as reality may not be true, mm-hmm. right? It's what you were taught, but not necessarily true. You want to speak to that?
It might not be the only thing to look at. There might be other things to look at as well. So turning your gaze to a larger view, still you have to, again, make your own decisions. You have to look at everything from a standpoint of, you know, is it Does it make sense? Is it founded, well-founded? And is it something that I can hook onto and see myself working well with? You know, those things you have to use whatever filters that are important to you in order to evaluate what your options are. But I know that your best option might not be the first one you hear. I know that personally.
Yeah, I do too. So I have a story to share.
Yeah. I saw you smile there.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, my brother was a chiropractor. I was into some natural health, mostly not because I was on 50 drugs, right? That's not really natural health.
Wow.
That's called, you know, you either... Anyways, it was natural health. Anyways, we'll just leave it at that. So now my girlfriend, Linda Stevens, who's very much into brain health, natural health, you know, and everything. When I was disabled, she came to pick me up because I couldn't drive. And we were going to a landmark education meeting. And so at that time, I had two torn rotator cuffs and I'm exploring surgery. Mm-hmm. And she goes, you actually don't have to have surgery for that. And I looked at her like she was, and this is in my book and I already know I can, you know, share all this. I told her she was, you know, bat crazy, right? Literally. I'm like, are you out of your mind? Of course you have to have surgery, right? Now, I never had surgery, so you know the end of that story already, right? And, but even though I was coming off of like being sick and learning about these modalities, I was committed to the old way of doing things. And it got very, God just kept on stepping in, giving me these roadblocks, right? To surgery. And so I looked at using frankincense essential oil. Now at that time, I don't have all the fun gadgets that I do now. Okay. This is 2014. And I don't have my PEMF. I don't have my BOD. I haven't met BOD yet. Although BOD was coming like a few months in the future. And I see, you know, Dr. Josh Axe, you know of him, I'm sure. And I'm reading about gut health and I'm listening to his videos and I'm listening to his talk about frankincense essential oil.
Interesting.
And I'm putting frankincense essential oil on my shoulders, both of them, daily. And I went through the entire bottle. You know, you get the 15 mil bottle and then I go get the Now brand and and that was a lesson because the Now brand and the doTERRA brand were night and day, right? Like one was weak, one wasn't. I'll give you a hint. I do sell doTERRA. don't sell now. And he says how his mom used frankincense essential oil for her breast cancer. And his mom's alive today. And he goes, and by the way, it has multiple uses. He goes, it also is really great for skin imperfections. So I go like this and I look at my shoulders and you don't see any scars on my neck, do you?
No.
In here. So I went to Hawaii in 1997 shortly after they put me on all the drugs. Now I never prior to that, I didn't burn in the sun ever. So I go out to Hawaii and I burned, I mean like blistered, and I had scars all over my shoulders and my neck. Wow. And I'm using this frankincense and he says this and I get up and I run to the bathroom to look in the mirror. I pause his video. Right? I'm like, it's gone.
Wow.
And I was taking it not only topically, but internally, meaning you know, your success is inside out. Right? Mm-hmm. And of course, it also puts your brain in a theta state, or, you know, meditative state. And so if you are working with the brain, right, to calm it down, it can effectively do what it's supposed to do, which is direct every organ, tissue, and cell to act in your best behalf for your immune system and anything else, your digestive system and nervous system. And so I never had surgery. I have pictures where I'm, you know, bench pressing and, you know, using my shoulders after to show people that you actually can heal and you don't have to go under the knife. Uh-huh. And the thing is that we're programmed to believe that you have to, right? But what do surgeons do? Cut.
That's what their training is, yeah.
What's your training?
What's my training? Well, yeah. My training is in conservative measures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how do you let the body heal itself? Uh-huh. Right? And his body, and he, medical doctors are thinking more like they're the healers, right? But we both know that we're only the conduit to healing. Right. Right? So it's a much different approach. And so my question to the audience is, what is your program belief system about healing and about your body's personal success strategy?
You know, that's really a good point, because if you can consciously bring that forward, then you can observe it and see if that's how you want it to be, or if you want to look for other viable options.
Yeah.
About what it is that, you know, that you're thinking and looking into. That's a very interesting point.
Well, because everything, you know, this is according to Jody, everything is a belief system. And so the belief system is either serving you or it's not. And it's driving your success, right? And it's driving how you heal. And it's driving, because your brain's going to tell your body how you're supposed to heal. So what have you programmed your brain to believe? Mm-hmm. Right? And you programmed your brain to believe that there's always another way.
Yeah.
Which is amazing about you.
I've learned it early on in my practice. I had to adjust how I looked at things based upon what my patients were like and what I had learned early in my life. So I'm familiar with the process of looking at things, examining them as objectively as possible, and then choosing the options that match where I want to be in life. See, where I want to be in life is I want to be fully functional, fully viable, and active, energetic for as long as I live. That is one of the titles of the book, How to Make Your Body Last a Lifetime. Well, if you know you're going to be, if you don't know, but if you expect that you'll be living a long life, you have to take care of yourself in a way that matches that. All right. And so you have to be proactive in things, because I've seen plenty of people that weren't active, you know, and had a certain path, you know. So this actually brings up something. Can I go get something just real quick?
Yeah.
I didn't. Be right back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So while Dr. Scott is getting his tool of choice, I want to say that to me, it's amazing the power of chiropractic. And the reason chiropractic is so powerful is we're using the body's innate response mechanism. They're not changing anything. They're only just making sure that your body's doing what it needs to do by making sure it's in alignment. So when you have a subluxated spine, that signal that goes from the brain to the rest, to, you know, every organ, tissue, and cell in your body, if there's a subluxated spine, it has to take a stop, and it can't communicate to the place it needs to communicate to. So Dr. Scott, you know, he helps your body communicate better with the rest of yourself. Go ahead, Dr. Scott.
Okay, so thank you very much for that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I often will show this to people. Okay, and it shows...
Let me remove this screen. Go ahead.
Okay, this is a poster and of two outcomes in life. Okay.
Yeah.
So I ask people, which one do you want?
You know, to be or not to be. So it says to be, you decide.
Wheel guide. So mm-hmm. want to be turtleback or do you not to? To be turtleback or
Forward head carriage. Yeah.
And a kyphotic thoracic spine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's on this side. All right.
Yeah.
So when I ask people, which one they want, and then they pick this one. I said, well, the default in life tends to be this one. All right. Aging in this way. And this is actually an external representation of what often happens internally as a person ages. Okay. And so if you want this, there's reasonable ways for you to make that happen. So my specialty is in biomechanics. All right. So I can say, if you want to heal this, to live life this way, then you sleep in a C position, you drive in a C position, you recline in a C position, and you work in a C position. That gets you.
I'm in the C position right now.
Yeah. So you don't have to live life perfectly this way. You just have to, the big chunks of your day, is sleeping, sitting, driving, working. If they're more like this, mm-hmm. then you're likely to get this.
Right.
All right. So what we were talking about is examine what it is that you want. Mm-hmm. Decide internally what you want, and then you seek out the professionals and the ways in which you can get more toward where you want than the other way. This takes a conscious decision, because the default is that.
Right. And so I want to circle back.
Yes.
To childhood. Okay.
Huh?
To childhood. So I'm talking to parents right now who are raising children. I was on my way to church one day. We're walking in, my husband and I, and a little girl, if she was 3 years old, I would be surprised. Maybe three. She probably was three and a half. And she's carrying a huge backpack.
Mm.
Show me which picture is her spine going to look like if she carries on like that.
Well, if she carries on like that and she doesn't do things to actively change it, this is what her outcome is
right.
more likely to be than if she makes changes.
Turtle back, forward head carriage, and the other concern you mentioned.
Right.
So
if you can see where you're heading, you can decide, do I want to head that way or do I want to head another way?
Right. And so what I would say is that parents, you really don't want to put heavy backpacks on your children. I don't care what they say at school. And she certainly, this little girl certainly didn't need it for church. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think what she needs at church needs to go into that backpack.
Right.
She only needs her divine little self.
Uh-huh.
And you show me that, I think about, again, the programming that we get as kids. And what is she being taught? She has to muscle up, right? And carry this stuff, right? And she has to work hard. And she's three. She's three.
Yeah.
So what do you have to say about all that?
Well, as far as backpacks go, you can adjust the way you carry a backpack for any mm-hmm. backpack user of any age mm-hmm. to fit more into the backpack instead of carrying it on your tailbone and having to lean forward to carry it, have mm-hmm. it higher into the small of the lower back, have wide straps rather than narrow straps.
Mm-hmm.
Have a backpack that can cinch up and release easily so that you can get in and out of it. You pack the heavy things closer to the body, the lighter things away from the body, so that if the heavier things were away from the body, leverage would work against the person. All right. So
brilliant.
You pack it. And there are ways to help people with that have been down that path to increase the strength of their core. to use good body mechanics, getting on and off, use it only when necessary, and then also do the stretches that are required to not have your body stay in that fixed position in the total back, if you will. So even in that situation, there are options of a strategy that you can look at doing to lessen the risk, eliminate the risk, no, but minimize the risk as much as you can and do the things that you need to do with your own body, especially with the 300 as they're growing, to make sure that they can stay in the function of the way the body was designed in the first place.
Yeah. And I, you know, cause I was kind of snooping around your website.
Yeah.
Concept behind the turtle back.
You so probably, you probably saw a pack back too then.
Let me see.
Which website is that? The chiropractic one?
Uh-huh. Donkin Chiropractic.com. Yeah.
There's also, I actually have a term called pack back.
Pack back.
Pack okay. back, which is the conditions arising from improper or prolonged use of backpacks and other devices as well. This includes cell phones and okay, you want to talk about cell phones and tech neck. There are ways to help with that. Okay. A person can take some control of themselves with their cell phone, because if I have my phone here and I can, if I look at it, if anytime my axis of vision goes below 25 degrees of horizontal, my head tilts, unless I train it to do otherwise. Okay. So if people are like this all day long, they get the turtle back.
So you
can't just say, don't use your cell phone anymore, because that's not realistic. How is it that I can use my cell phone better so that I don't get tech neck? Okay. So number one is you can put your elbows on your chest and bring your cell phone up like this.
Yeah. I don't want you to do what I do. Can I demonstrate?
Yeah.
So it's a bad, bad habit. And I stopped doing it because my heart was feeling it. Uh-huh. So here's my chest, right? Yes. And I would sit in bed and I'd have it right.
Oh, here. Yeah. That would be pretty rough from your whole body and your chest. I can see that.
Right. So yeah. What happened is I'm now sending radiation to my heart.
Uh-huh.
Awesome. You know,
and you're cranking your neck and compressing your chest. So there's
right.
Yeah. So yeah. That was.
It's not a mistake that I haven't made, people. Yeah. So we're here to help. Learn from what we do, right. What we don't do now.
Right. So here's two other things. You can put your elbows on your chest if you're two-handed. If you're one-handed, you can put your hand on your elbow.
Okay.
Then it's right there. You can move it away.
That's awesome.
And then if you watch things on your phone, then you can do a selfie stick and you can hold it upright.
So we don't really watch things on our phone. I'll listen to things on my phone. I just leave my phone and I listen to it from afar because I really don't want this thing by me at all.
Yeah.
Here's
what's interesting that you brought up, though. You brought up these ways in which there's one way of doing it that everybody thinks is the only way, but there's a number of options, possibilities to reduce your risk if you look at them. All right.
Yes.
So that's how I discovered how to do this, was by, I don't want this. What can I do to change this? And so then I wrote this article called Help Your Selfie. And so that's what this is about. You know, and it actually was the catalyst for this was this mother that brought her 14-year-old son in. And
I'm going to actually let you tell the story while I go get Fagala, because she has something she needs to contribute. And as you know, she's an intuitive and she's like, mommy, 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 you only have 10 minutes left on the show. Come get me.
Okay.
So you share the story.
Uh-huh.
I will be back like in a minute.
Okay. Sure. So I had this mother and son come in to the adjusting room, and I treated them both. And she looks at me and points at her son, and she said, "Fix him, fix him." And I said, "Well, what is the deal?" She says, "He's always on his cell phone. I want him to get off of his cell phone, and he's having these neck pains and headaches, and he's got awful posture. So I want him to get rid of his cell phone, and he won't." And so I looked at him and I said, if I was going to show you a way to still be able to use your cell phone and have better posture so that your mom isn't bugging you about it, and she's right, you know, but if she isn't bugging you about it because she sees that you're using it better, would you be open to that? He said, well, yeah. So I went through the scenario about using the way it's typically done, and then the ways that you can do use a cell phone and use a selfie stick. If you're watching something, you can hold it up and far away. And so then it was up to him. He looked at the information. He looked at his mom and he said, okay, I'll try it. And so I had to see him for a series of treatments. And by the time I was done, he was able to have better posture when he was using a cell phone. His cell phone use wasn't in jeopardy as an absolute, and both sides were happy. So we just had
to. And I heard that whole story because I was only, you know, like seconds away. Yeah.
So we just had to look at things in a different way. If I say I want this outcome and this isn't getting me this, what else do I need to look at that could get me this? You know, two sides of an equation. The right side of the equation is modified by the left side of the equation. So if you want a different outcome, you have to change the left side of the equation in order to get a different right side of the equation.
Right. So what the show's about, you know, an individual's path to true health. Largely, you know, health and wellness, right, occurs largely from the inside out, right? And so what you're saying is that person has to learn and decide what their definition of health and wellness is and what the ultimate goals are. And so what you're doing as a resource is teaching people how to look at things differently. Are you not? Right.
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. I'm saying if you want an outcome that's different than the road you're heading on, look at all the possibilities, see what makes sense to you, and pursue them if that's the right thing for you.
Yeah, and that's really huge. I think we're in a time where there's a lot of information available. And if you're listening to this show, it's no mistake that you caught this show, right? And so consider that whatever you have facing you, whether it's your health or your career or anything, that there are many different ways to approach and look at whatever it is that's giving you an opportunity to grow.
Right.
Now, Fagala. Say hi to Fagala.
Hi. You know, this is the first time I've actually seen her because I've heard her in our conversations in the past. She's beautiful.
Yeah, and then her sister over here, Tinkerbell, equally beautiful. She's a little bit more introverted. She's a little shy. Uh-huh. So maybe she'll come over. Right now she's hanging to my right.
But well, she does.
Fagala had something she wanted to contribute. Oh. Did you do a thumbs up?
No, I
did. You just do
nope.
So how is that possible? Where's that coming from? That's weird. This is a recording show. Okay.
Oh, that's right. That's pretty interesting.
Bad job.
Yeah.
Okay. So Fagala has something she wanted to contribute about your success is an insight. Okay. Got it. So you said, mommy, tell about my health history. Okay. So when I got Fagala, she was 7 weeks old. And we were given a bird meal that needed to be refrigerated. Okay. But it came to us in a, basically a Ziploc baggie. Okay. And it was not labeled or anything. I don't know where those thumbs ups are coming from. We'll just call it a god job.
Yeah.
And the person, the store that I purchased this from, didn't tell me that it needed to be refrigerated. Now, I've had birds since I was 7. I'm, going to be 61, right? And so I've had birds all my life, basically. Now, never once have I refrigerated their food. So what happened to this little girl? She was getting really sick because she was being fed toxic food because it was not refrigerated, developing bacteria. So if you want to let people do a close-up, okay. So if you take a look at her claws, let me see if I can do this correctly.
I see, yeah. Oh,
she's seeing one, and one's going up.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so what happened to her was her immune system was so distraught, you know, broken down, that when I took her in a few days later to get her nails clipped, because anybody who's ever had a baby bird knows that they come with razor sharp claws and razor sharp beak. I mean, it'll bleed you out. So you really want to like to take care of that one right away.
Yeah.
So I take her in, they go to clip her nail and the whole nail comes out. Yeah. She's blood curdling cries. Now she doesn't have any trauma on this anymore because actually we used the BOD to get rid of the trauma for her. And then like they thought, okay, they did one, it fell out, and they decided to go to the next one. I'm like, what are you doing? So the second one fell out and grew back in the wrong way. Now, by the time that they're done with the second nail, I've already, you know, barreled through to the back of the vet's office, and I'm like, let go of my bird, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, the gift was that we learned that she had a compromised immune system, right? Because why else would that have happened? And of course, then that led to doing some blood testing. And so Dr. Peter Sakis, who was the vet, he has since passed. He and I together, him not knowing holistic care and me not knowing Western care for birds, because I'm at the beginning of my journey, or, you know, like 3 years in, so I don't know much. I know some, right? We used an integrative approach. So we got her on antibiotics, but I flooded her body with what? Probiotics. I made her a sweet potato with turmeric and a black pepper and echinacea and dandelion, right? I mean, and that's just the start, right? What I'm saying is that, you know, you can co-create with the universe. You can co-create with your healers, whether they be MD, DC, ND, doesn't make, or no D's, right? No D's, I'm a no D. You can co-create to bring healing, not only to yourself, but to your pets. You don't have to follow the narrative. You can step outside of the current reality and co-create and create something different. Mm-hmm. So is that
a very innovative approach, combining perspectives, you know, for the outcome of and the benefit of your bird. That's really,
yeah. Now watch this.
I didn't know that. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. So she's super, super strong, right?
Yeah.
Now, mind you, if I showed you the pictures, which will be in my book, you know, like, so she says, that's so strong. Yeah, she couldn't even hold her head up, you know, when I got her, because she was so, you know, compromised. And so we have the opportunity, as you said, to be successful from the inside out.
Uh-huh.
But we have to be willing to shift our mindset in order to do it.
And examine options objectively as well to see what is most viable for a person. And also to surround themselves with a team of people. Because what I've seen with people is that many people will have a focus that's a part of the picture, but not the whole picture. And so many people will need, like I said, a team that they can count on, rely on, and believe in order to help them on their path. Because ultimately, the individual is the one that's out there on the field living life. And other people can be around to help them and support and provide coaching and opinions. But the person takes the reins and has to do the things that are required. And be guided by, you know, what they see as most beneficial, you know, to follow them on that path that they want.
Right. So be in control, be in the driver's seat when it comes to your health and quite frankly, to anything else. Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's wonderful. Right.
And there again, there's a lot of things that we don't have control over, but we can control our response to them.
Absolutely. And I would also say, we can control our own responses. I would say that once you become, develop your consciousness, you can control some of the things that happen to you, right? I still have things that happen to me all the time because I'm constantly learning, but I'm not having a repeated event. I think that's the distinction I want to make. It's not a repeated occurrence.
A recurring theme is a clue.
It's a signal, right? It is.
Yeah. So to examine.
Tell people how to get in touch with you, Dr. Scott. I know it's displayed, but this will also be audio.
Yeah. Email is great. That's probably best. And then there's our office number there as well. I'm happy to help with any questions that are within my abilities and my scope. So I'm happy to help with people that are on the path that want to ask questions.
Sure. So it's Dr. Scott Donkin. His email address is DonkinChiropractic5540@gmail.com. You can call his office, 402-488-1500, extension 1. And his website is DonkinChiropractic.com. Dr. Scott and I have been friends for many, many years. We share a lot of the same values. And he's also a contributing author to my book, which is called Emotional Healing, Toxic Food Living. And it's at the editor now.
That's exciting.
Okay, or my editor, if you... Yeah. And so what we'll be doing, and I'll just kind of give people a quick view of what to see. We're going to be doing a poll. You can look for it on LinkedIn, Facebook, emails that I send out. But we are going to choose a book cover.
That's exciting. So,
yeah, and you get to be part of that choice. This is just kind of what we're looking at. And, so that's the ticket there. And the thing is that one of the things that I'm trying to drive home for people is that whatever disease we have, chronic, acute, it doesn't matter, it's driven by our emotions. And so it's very, very important to get your emotions in check and understand what's driving you so you can release that and have pure health. And I'm not the only one, right? Like, in other words, you don't just need me. You need Dr. Scott in your life. You know, you need an acupuncturist. You need your own tools at home. You need your own practice, your own personal practice for health and wellness.
Right.
You wanted to add to that.
No, I think that that's a great way to sum it all up. It's important for people to be able to look at what they have, figure out how they want to respond to things and figure out how they want to move forward and find the support that's important for them in order to get what they really, really want to shoot for.
Yeah, I agree. I want to thank you so very much for being
on.
Thank
you, Judy. It's a pleasure to share with you and learn and grow. And thank you for letting me be a part of this.
Oh, thank you for taking the time. And again, so Dr. Scott can be reached at 402-488-1500, extension 1 is DonkinChiropractic.com. Email DonkinChiropractic5540@gmail.com. If you're looking for somebody to help you shift your mindset, please call me at 847-738-0242. Email Judy@SusanEssentials.com or go to my website, SusanEssentials.com. I see, feel, hear things that most people are not seeing, feeling, and hearing. I have many people that come to me and who think that they've released a trauma. There's still a residue or it's still in the field because they went through therapy, which is critically important, but they need to have someone like me take it out of their field so it doesn't show up anymore as an experience. So Anyways, thank you. I'm going to run the video real quick, and we'll say goodbye, and we'll see everyone next week. All right.
Have a great day, everybody.
Yeah.